And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, the text line is up to hundreds of subscribers. And literally, hey, Mike from Madison, welcome to the text line. We're glad you're on there. Jeff from Indiana says, well, Phil, you can do an interview with me anytime. And since he's already paid my fee having a Right Side Radio t-shirt, he says, just being able to be in the presence of two great men like you and Boomer is an honor anyway. But he did say he loved the interview. And anyway, I appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks, brother. Be safe on the road, man. We also got a new one. This calls himself the Parts Guy from Albertville. So, Parts Guy, we're glad you're in the mix. Scott from Russellville texted in. And as for the idea of who to interview next, he's got three ideas. I love all of them. James Woods, John Rich, and Rob Schneider. And I will just go ahead and say there's one name on that list we're already working on. I will not tell you which one. But, yeah, James Woods, John Rich, Rob Schneider, those would be awesome interviews. By the way, he spells awesome, A-U-S-O-M-E. I'm assuming he's an Auburn fan or he just misspelled it. I don't know which, but anyway, I like the A-U version, all right, of awesome. JT from Lacey Springs, he's giving you a technical thing. You might want to check it out there, Boomer. Maybe you're having something going on with one of the stations. Anyway, hey, listen, we're going to jump into the next part of the Triple Dipper to carry us through the end of today's show. Off the rails. And by the way, call in about if you want to. I will take a moment away from what I'm working on right now with Off the Rails, and we'll talk about anything else we've talked about on the show. I'll just leave it open line Thursday, apparently. 833-687-4448. But yeah, Off the Rails. So I don't know if you remember this, but about 4 to 6 weeks ago, which would put it just, a mere 3 weeks or so before the midterm elections, President Biden actually held a Rose Garden press conference to announce that his administration had successfully negotiated and averted a major rail strike. Now, folks, I'm going to break it down for you. You're going to hear some of these stats more than once because of the various stories that I've got, but just know this. We're not talking about one rail line. We're talking about all rail lines. 40% of all of America's freight uses rail. 40%. Can you imagine what it would do to the economy if 40% of all of our supply chain just stopped? And that's where we're at. The deadline was December 9th, but apparently the Biden administration had worked it all out. Everything was good. They got it done just in time for the elections, except they didn't. For whatever reason, it appears they got out a little ahead of their skis. You know, people gave Bush grief when he did a speech and was standing in front of a banner that somebody else put up that said mission accomplished. Well, I got news. Biden just had his mission accomplished moment, and he's not getting called out about it by the press. Oh, no. No, no. He's still the hero because he turned around and he sent it straight to Congress to have to work on. But why would he do that? I thought he and his Department of Labor secretary and Secretary of Transportation, Secretary, and all of them, or Department of Transportation, I thought they had all gotten it worked out. No, they had not gotten it worked out. The deal that they thought they had worked out had only been approved by upper-level union bosses. It had not been voted on by the rank and file. So what happened there was, in order to save face right before the elections and to make the world think that all was well, the Biden administration chose to call something done that was nowhere near done. And what's happened now is 4 out of the 12, I believe it is, major rail unions. This controls transit. This controls maintenance. This controls freight lines. This controls everything about rail. These are all of the rail unions. Not even some of the metro lines, like in city Amtrak, all of it. Bam. And so what's happened is 4 of the major unions, rank and file, have voted against the plan that was agreed on. We're going to talk about that in a minute, what that means. But then at the same time, the other unions, the ones who had voted for it, they're now back there saying, and you know what, we'll go ahead and stand in solidarity with those who chose to go on strike if they do. So in other words, everybody's going on strike. So now Biden, who didn't have it done, kicks it off and gives it back to Congress and says, do something. I'm sorry, Mr. President. I thought you were doing something. Well, listen, that's where we're at. That is where we're at. Speaking of jobs, before I go to the break, let me just tell you, ZLA Solutions, they've been with us since this show began. From the very beginning, ZLA Solutions, which is doing an epically good job at getting jobs and people lined up, they've been a supporter of this show. And they are literally out there making it happen. If you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. But if you're an employer and you're looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, you need more people, onesies and twosies, very niche or high-skilled, or just needing to fill out an entire shift to run the line at your factory, they can do that. They can handle all of that, the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary, every bit of it, blue-collar, white-collar, no-collar, it don't matter, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Please do check them out. And tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back with Off the Rails. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. I'm talking about this show goes way down south of Birmingham, way up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. I got it right that time, Boomer. I didn't get distracted by a phone ringing in the background.
No distractions that time.
Early in the show, I'm trying to talk, turn off my phone, losing my notes. It was awful. It was a moment. I got a note, a couple more texts just for fun here. Rita from Scottsboro, I didn't see it until just now. It got buried under some other texts, but Rita from Scottsboro, with regards to the Stephen Curtis Chapman interview about him playing on the stage at the Grand Ole Opry with his dad and his brother, she says, "Was I the only one with tears streaming down my face picturing him and his dad, his brother, and everyone at the Grand Ole Opry?" She goes, "Geez, I'm a mess." And then she says, "LOL." But anyway, Rita, I get it. Well, I mean, what a cool thing that he said that if you missed that part of the interview, his dad was an amazing guitarist, played in a band, but decided that the only way for him to truly be home and raise his kids was to put aside his own dream of ever playing at the Grand Ole Opry. So he opened up a guitar store, and became, you know, more of a figure in his kids' everyday life. Mm. Well, that's what caused Stephen Curtis Chapman then to have the opportunity to learn to play with his dad, and to have a father figure like that in his life, who then went on to have an amazing career. Who then, by the way, got a chance to play at the Grand Ole Opry and had his dad come play on stage with him.
So cool.
That's beyond cool.
Yes. Absolutely.
There's a movie moment in that somewhere. I'm just saying.
There is.
Yep. Rita, you're not the only one that thought that one was cool.
There's a couple other good texts as well.
Yeah, there are. There's quite a few. John
from Huntsville. I think you're about to do this one.
He goes, "Phil, I wonder if there's a show called Left Side Radio, always fake, always liberal, and just plain wrong." Well, you know what? If there is, I ain't listening to it, John, just so you know. All right, we're in number three of the Triple Dipper, Off the Rails. Let me just jump into this. So here's the bottom line. I kind of laid the foundation for it a while ago, but President Biden had already announced this was a done deal. It's done. Well, Politico, and by the way, everybody's talking about this, but there some of them, like, I got a CNN story here that is so trying to moderate this for the Biden administration. Like, well, you know, it was important that he take these, that kind of crap. I've got another one from New York Magazine that is literally the most apologetic thing I've ever seen for unions, but I'm going to read through it. So the first article I got here from Politico, headline dated yesterday, Rail contract faces uncertain Senate future as freight shutdown looms. So it says that a House bill to head off a nationwide rail strike faces an uncertain future in the Senate just days before the threatened work stoppage is likely to begin affecting the economy. The bill, which still needs a vote in the Senate, would impose a labor contract opposed by tens of thousands of unionized workers. Okay, picture what I just said. Congress acting to tell the private sector what they will do. I get it. It's far bigger than just, is Apple making the best computer? All right. This is when you're talking about shutting down 40% of the economy. I guess I get it, but this is a very unusual step for Congress to exercise powers that was granted to it. And I'm trying to think how long ago. But there is actually a law on the books that allows for this type of intervention to take place. Well, some Democrats are already like trying to push to get it resolved this week. They want it over with. You know why they want it over with? They don't want it dragged out in the press. It makes them look bad, and their union buddies are calling them left and right going, "What are you doing?" Because this is causing a wedge right now. This is when they are getting pitted against their usual constituents. So here's the thing. 40% of the entire supply chain, 40% of all U.S. freight goes by rail. 40%. Whether some or all of that supply chain for that particular item goes by rail. 40% of the nation's economy supply chain is connected to rail. There are estimates that say if this strike were to take place, the economy would take a $2 billion per day hit. $2 billion in economic loss per day to the economy. That's how big it is. You know what the only sticking point was on this? Not that they weren't getting enough pay. Not that they weren't getting, I mean, they're getting like a 23% pay bonus, I think it was, an 11 or pay increase, a one-time bonus of $11,000, new scheduling arrangements. The one sticking point was they want paid sick leave. That was it. The whole thing came down to paid sick leave. But on Wednesday evening, it says, Republicans have widely divergent opinions about the bill. So what are they going to do? Boomer, I tell you what, let's do some audio clips here. I want to go ahead and get clip one ready, if you don't mind, please. We got an audio clip here of Steve Moore that I'm going to play in just 1 second. CNN has an article dated yesterday. All of it's fresh. Says there's no illusions inside the White House that the decision to call on Congress to impose a negotiated labor agreement on railroad workers would be universally well received. That it was a pained explanation given by Biden for the decision to implicitly have to buck his close political allies. Keep in mind, when Biden got elected, he named himself as the most pro-union president ever. Well, why do you think they feel so emboldened for negotiations? Because they know they're operating in an environment where the U.S. Department of Labor under the Biden administration will probably be there for them in most ways. However, they couldn't quite get past this one piece. Pelosi, like, literally said she was going to have that bill up in the House right away, and they did, and it passed. So the House has already passed a bill, which is now, as of just a few minutes ago, up on the screen here in the studio, is indicating that they have the votes in the Senate. They think they'll pass it. During his announcement, Biden spoke to cabinet officials who had run point of the talks, are saying he had spoken to his cabinet officials, Labor Secretary Marty Walsh, Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. The agencies all made up the key players in the negotiations. The message about where things had stood was clear. It says that Biden said that there's no path to resolve the dispute at the bargaining table and have recommended that we seek congressional action. Well, see, that the most I tell you what, let's just do that. Play Boomer clip one. Steve Moore, former financial advisor to President Trump, was on the Hannity show. I saw his comments last night, and it was so well said. I thought I got to find that. I had to go search this clip out and play it. So you got clip one, Boomer. Steve Moore, go ahead and play it.
In history. Let me ask, Steve, if you look at the deal that's on the table for the rail workers, they're going to get a 24% pay increase, and on average, most workers will get about an $11,000 bonus. That doesn't sound like a horrible deal to me.
Well, this is a fiasco. I mean, this is a total fiasco, yeah. An egg on the face of this White House. This has been—we've known about this issue for 6 months, that this strike might occur. And we can't have our rail workers going on strike. It would cause, you know, all sorts of problems for the American economy. And yet, remember, 2 or 3 weeks before the election, I don't know if you remember this, Sean, the president had a press conference in the Rose Garden at the White House declaring victory on this. I've solved the problem. Mission accomplished. He took a victory lap. Of course, it was only to punt the thing past the election. Then we get past the election. He can't solve the problem, and now he's punting it to Congress. Sean, that's not presidential leadership. That's not what a president does.
Okay.
The reason these workers are so angry, frankly, is when you've got you've had 15% inflation since Biden came into office. So workers are agitated because their paychecks are shrinking, Sean.
There you go. He said it so well. They're first of all, they're negotiating against inflation. That's hard, because they're at 40-year high inflation. They're negotiating for things that they say they want, and everybody knows we have to keep them to some degree solvent because, or moving forward, because the economy is resting upon rail in many ways. But at the same time, they are getting a lot out of this. They are. Now, they're getting immediate 14% pay raises with back pay several years. 14%. And they're getting 24% over the course of 5 years. They're also getting $11,000 initial bonuses, and everybody gets at least a $1,000 cash bonus every year thereafter. It's a huge contract. In fact, the article I've got here from CNN says it's the biggest pay increase won by the unions in more than 50 years. And it all came down to sick leave. Well, why is that so important? What I mean, do you not get paid holidays? Do you not get PTO? Do you not get the opportunity to call in? Well, there are some issues there. And so I'm going to try and explain that in a minute, because I've got one piece that I read from New York Magazine. It's a very liberal point, but it talks about why they use what's called precision scheduled railroading. And basically what they're saying is, in order to run a good business and keep the freight running on time, it's hard for them to have sick leave. Anyway, we'll talk about it. I got a caller. I'll take a caller real quick. Is that Jeff from Indiana? Jeff Rowe from Indiana. How you doing, man?
Doing great, Phil. I love the interview. You guys are great.
Thank you, buddy.
That really was touching.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. Where are you at right now? You on the road?
Yeah, I'm about middle of Tennessee here. I haven't made it to Nashville yet, so I'm not stopped.
Well, so like I always say now, you're somewhere between Bucky's and Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. Right at about the halfway point, I guess you'd say.
Well, good. What's on your mind, man?
But hey, you know, everybody's talking about these railroad guys and everything. They're getting all the kudos and stuff. Hey, maybe I want to go on strike. You know, what do you think's going to happen if truckers go on strike? Because I don't think them railroads run to every house in the country, you know?
I'm pretty sure, too, that the 40% that runs on rail, it's mostly like 60% that runs on the roads. Am I right?
I'd say even more than that, because the rail is just going to stop at a terminal, and then from that terminal, you're going to take it on a truck.
That's true. That's true. All right.
Yes. So,
well,
I'm working 60, 70 hours a week, man. I need some time off, too, and a little more pay.
Well, let me ask you. You and I talked about this once on the air before, back when Biden said he had it worked out, and he didn't. What's going to happen if the rail was to go on strike? Can the freight haulers on the road pick it up? Can they pick up the slack?
Well, no, because I mean, heck, we're 60,000 truck drivers short right now, and you know, there's no. I mean, my company right now, we've got people sharing trucks right now because there's not enough trucks even out there on the market.
Oh wow!
Because we can't get them, they can't build them fast enough.
Well, and I also saw, too, your industry is facing some new things in California where you're going to have battery-powered trucks and clean energy trucks and new trucks.
Well, California could just fall off into the ocean, I think, if it wants to. It wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit.
Well, there's some good folks out there. That's our second biggest podcast audience is still in California, so I'm hoping that they're going to breathe some sense into their politics eventually.
Well, those people just have to flee like everybody else from the blue states are, I guess, and get out of there while it's getting good.
Well, that's true. Alabama welcomes you. We got a lot of California refugees here in Alabama. We'll take you. But
yeah, but we only want the sane ones, though. I mean, you know, we don't want them to bring that blue politics. I don't look for Nancy to move over. I don't want Nancy in my neighborhood.
No, Nancy's too busy trying to figure out how people get into her house at night right now. She's going to stay where she is for the moment.
I bet Paul knows.
I'm betting he does, too. Hey, Jeff, we got to run to a break, brother. You be safe on the road. Have a good night, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
You have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you. All right, Boomer, take us to the break, buddy. We'll come right back. I'm barely scratching the surface of this dipper. I mean, I don't know how... Do you see how much stuff I've got, Boomer? I've got like a whole...
Oh, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
I know. You're barely scraping it.
Barely. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We're in number 3 of the Triple Dipper, Off the Rails. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Our listeners crack me up. We got two, Mike from Huntsville and Jeremy from Huntsville, both texted in the same thing. They said, where'd it go? It says, basically, that, you know, John a while ago said, we need to find out there's a left side radio. He said, tell John there is a left side radio. It's called NPR. That's just good. And then Paul from Athens is giving me grief about whether I'm going to finish up my triple dip. I'm going to finish it, man. I'm going to finish it. But he says, tomorrow you can start off with Off the Rails as the number one dipper, but then you got to retitle it Back on Track. That's just good. By the way, Jeremy from Huntsville also had a great thing there. I missed it earlier. Talking about my monologue was on lying and the reasons why and why not and don't, and the fact that the Biden administration just continually contradicts truth. Let's put it that way. But he's just talking about the fact that it's like a personal thing with him, and I won't go into the whole text he said, but he says he knows he's fortified and even lost a few relationships because of being honest, but he's also stronger and happier because of it. And so I get it, man. I get it. Hey, back on this, the situation off the rails. So article here from AP, headline, House votes to avert the rail strike. So the House did vote. The news put up just a little while ago while we were here in studio, today's show, says the Senate believes it has the votes to pass the bill that will enforce the agreement as it stands now. In other words, the rail workers are not going to get their final demands for additional sick leave, that whatever had been approved by their leadership at some point is now going to be forced to be in place, period. Business groups, including the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the American Farm Bureau, and others have warned that halting the rail services in a strike would cost $2 billion a day as a hit to the economy. And now they are all praising the House for voting to block the strike, but urging senators to resist adding more sick time. So what did they do? So Schumer went trying to pretend he was doing a compromise. This is a pretend bill. He had two bills. One was the House bill to just pass it. The other was a Senate bill to... have a separate bill about sick leave. You know why? I tell you why. That's because the folks that were reticent about pushing back against the union needed to be able to go home and say, we tried to get some sick leave, man, but we couldn't get the Republicans on board. They wanted a separate bill to be able to claim they tried something when everybody knew it was going to fail. It even says right here in this article that it was being put up, but that it was expected to fail. Senator John Thune, Republican from South Dakota, says he thinks it's a bad precedent for us to get into the nuances and details of things that have been negotiated for 3 years, and that trying to add things to the plan would have been a bad idea in the first place. All right, so article right here from New York Magazine, and I'll wrap up with this. Why is sick leave such a big deal? Well, this is a very apologetic article. This is a very union-favorable article, but it was explanatory on the one thing here. They call it precision scheduled railroading. All right. It says PSR, precision scheduled railroading, is an operational strategy that aims to minimize the ratio between railroads' operating costs and their revenues through various cost-cutting efficiency measures. Now, that's called running a good business, if you ask me. The basic idea, it says, is transport more freight using fewer workers and rail cars. Again, that's called efficiencies. One way to do this is making trains longer. Another way is to streamline scheduling so trains are running at full capacity as often as possible. That's called good business. All this, though, it says, has worked out poorly for rail workers. Over the past 6 years, America's major freight carriers have shed 30% of their employees. Well, I can see that being a problem for the employees, certainly. To compensate for lost staffing, remaining workers must then tolerate irregular schedules and little time off, and they have to schedule their sick leave in advance, which, it points out, almost requires them to be clairvoyant. Okay, I get it. There's going to have to be some means by which they can say, I got COVID, or I'm sick, or for that matter, you know, I'm about to have my appendix taken out. I get it. I know why that's real life, and I know why it needs to happen. But you cannot say that running a business efficiently is somehow making them what this article calls railroad barons, intent upon, you know, keeping the little man under their thumb. And they even say, why do rail barons hate paid leave so much? Well, listen, they just gave them huge bonuses and lots of other opportunities. But yeah, there's that. All right, man. What a great show, Boomer. What a great show today.
It was a great show and a fun show.
That was a good one. All right. Well, listen, that's a wrap. We are done for the day, but we're back tomorrow. Boomer and I are here tomorrow, too. You guys have an amazing night. We'll see you then.